In an offseason of change, we're going to talk about what should the Chicago Bulls' focus actually be in free agency, if they're even able to become a player in free agency. We're also going to look at Billy Donovan and ask, how much has Billy Donovan held back the development or the ceiling of the Chicago Bulls overall? And we're going to talk about how the mock drafts seem to be kind of all over the place for the Chicago Bulls. I think there's a pretty good reason why. We're going to get to all that plus more right after this.
You are now tuned in to Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for all things Chicago Bulls, hosted by Hayes.
What's going on, Bulls fans? Welcome to another episode of Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related. I'm the host, Hayes, but more importantly, you guys can follow the channel at Bulls Central Pod on every social media platform we happen to be on. With that being said, let's go ahead and get into this content for today, y'all. So I want to talk about this. The Chicago Bulls, you know, in preparing for an offseason of change, right? We know that, or they're talking about change. We don't know if it's actually going to happen, but there's a few different ways that the Chicago Bulls can change the roster. Of course, the draft comes a big part of that, right? Which we'll talk a little bit about here, about that at the end of the show. We've already done heavy draft coverage on the show. But outside of that, right, outside of the draft, it is like a trade of Zach LaVine, letting players walk away for nothing. But the Bulls and most teams going into free agency usually have a mid-level exception. The Bulls also have their biannual exception that they can use this year as well. But it all comes down to if the Bulls can clear enough cap space to make that happen, to use either one of them, right? Now, they don't have to have true cap space to do that. They just have to have enough room under the luxury tax. The Bulls are going to be over the salary cap. They are every single year, as most teams in the NBA are, but the Bulls are a team that operates below the luxury tax. That's basically a hard cap for them for all intents and purposes. And so the Bulls, who could create as much as $42 million beneath the luxury tax, could possibly have some flexibility. They could create even more than that, depending on what they do with some other deals. But the question is what should they focus on if they even are able to become players in the free agent market? There's an article on Bleacher Report talking about some free agents that the Chicago Bulls could pursue, and they all kind of make sense, but they make sense for if this team is trying to keep it together, which if they do keep it together, they're really not going to be able to be a player in free agency. Keep in mind, if DeMar DeRozan and Patrick Williams are both re-signed, that basically is going to take up most of that $42 million, if not all of it, as has been rumored that DeMar DeRozan was offered a contract of average salary of $42 million and turned it down. And for what it's worth, Patrick Williams was reportedly offered a $16 million contract extension. Don't know the years, but that was turned down as well. So, you know, when you look at those two players, if they both resign, there's a huge possibility it's going to put the Bulls right up against that luxury tax. That's why this is such a tightrope that the Chicago Bulls have to look at this year. Now, other things that they can do as far as move players. Trading Zach LaVine is something that is a priority by this front office. And, you know, that's been reported. We'll see what ends up happening with that. But if they don't take back all of Zach LaVine's salary, that could create them a little bit of cap space as well. The thing that the Bulls have to do, if they re-sign DeMar, if they re-sign Patrick Williams, and they end up moving Zach LaVine, basically what they have to ensure is that they at least take back $12 to $15 million less than what Zach LaVine's contract is. That would allow them a little bit of wiggle room to use their mid-level exception, which can be broken up across multiple players. It doesn't necessarily allow them to create enough space to use their biannual exception, but it can help them get a little bit of wiggle room in that free agent market to use the mid-level exception. Mid-level exception is an exception that the NBA grants to teams that basically every team has. If you're over the salary cap, it allows you to sign a free agent, you know, and use that mid-level exception to do so. So that's where it comes to the Chicago Bulls team at if they do become players. Now, Bleacher Report had a list of a few different options. Precious Achiuwa was one there that was for the Chicago Bulls, kind of mainly built around if the Bulls do lose Andre Drummond for nothing in free agency, which seems like it's more and more of a possibility every day. You look at what he's going to be able to bring defensively, and he brings a lot of what the Bulls actually do need defensively, and he comes into that center rotation. I know some Bulls fans, you know, my brother Pat over on Locked On Bulls has talked a lot about Adama Sanogo stepping into that role. And we haven't really seen anything from the Bulls to say that that's what they're looking at. Now, Adama Sanogo's performance in the G League, to me, does say he's somebody who should get an opportunity to earn a spot on the actual Chicago Bulls. But unfortunately, they're going to have to kind of make that decision before. Precious Achiuwa, 6'8", 225 pounds. The fact that he has a little bit of bounce to him as well. He can switch on defense. We can bring a lot of things. And he brings kind of a new skill set to that center position that we haven't really had here. Doesn't really bring a whole lot of upside offensively, but he does bring that defensive, which we do need hugely for the Chicago Bulls. Some defense, especially help with kind of the weak defense we have on the perimeter at times. Could definitely help with that. A name that's popped up in a lot of potential free agent lists and targets for the Chicago Bulls is Buddy Hield. And, you know, considering that he may take the full mid-level exception, that will come down to if the Bulls find a trade partner for Zach LaVine. I do think that Buddy Hield is somebody that the Chicago Bulls could look to, because he brings that three-point shooting ability that the Bulls need. We were 27th in three-point makes last year in the overall league. So bringing in Buddy Hield, who over the course of his career is an elite three-point shooter, he brings some other things as well, right? He's not just a three-point shooter, but that is a great skill that he brings. And at being 31 years old, he's top 25 all-time in three-pointers made. He's shooting the ball 40% from the perimeter. He is somebody that hugely helps the Chicago Bulls in a specific area of need, and that is three-point shooting. He's going to be on a lot of lists. Any list that you see for the Chicago Bulls in free agency is likely to include Buddy Hield for those reasons, and it makes sense structurally. And then lastly on this list, they have Kelly Oubre Jr. Now, this is a guy, I'm not extremely high on Kelly Oubre. I've never been. Well, there was a brief period of time in his career where I did like him a lot, but he's one of those guys that has this reputation as a shot-making wing that has really never really been truly efficient at shot-making. He just hasn't been. He's had solid years, right? I'm not trying to say like he hasn't had years where he's been good to serviceable to above that. You look at the 15 points per game he scored, 5 rebounds, 1 assist, 44% shooting overall from the field, 31% from three. Again, he's a career 32% shooter, but somehow carries this reputation of being a shooter. He's not. Now, he is a scorer, which the Bulls very well could use off the bench, is a scoring punch. But as a three-point threat, he just doesn't bring it consistently enough at the level that I would like the Bulls, if they're going to target a three-point specialist, to be at. But again, he's somebody who's probably going to be reasonable to get out there on the trade market. He has some of the physical tools. He's been giving more effort defensively as of late. He also fits kind of that physical profile that AK likes, his long wing defenders. So he is somebody, especially if the Bulls do move on from Zach LaVine. I could see he'd be somebody that the Bulls maybe pivot towards, because he's going to be a little bit of a cheaper option there as well. Now, with that said, is that the focus that the Bulls should have, though? And the question that I want to throw to you guys on this is, should the Chicago Bulls be focused on bringing in players that fix the holes of this version of the team, or should they be taking kind of more, if they are able to get a mid-level exception, should they be taking maybe shots at younger players that maybe have more upside, that may be a little bit of unproven commodity? It's got kind of a two-level mindset to have on it. Yes, traditionally in free agency, you just want to get people who fill holes that you have on that team that you drastically do need. Should they be looking at bets on shorter deals, or should they be looking at younger players that you may even look to consider re-signing this year? That's really what I want to talk about there. Let me know what you guys think on that. Like I said, that list is solid. The Bulls can create some cap space. Like I said, the only time that they write up against that luxury tax if they're looking to run everything back. A Zach LaVine trade, a letting DeMar DeRozan walk, an Alex Caruso trade, a combination of Drum, Torrey Craig walking creates a very small, but a little bit more space there as well. So the Bulls have more flexibility than I think what's been commonly talked about by both me and other Chicago Bulls pundits. But it really comes down to, if AK is just trying to run this thing back, then we're going to be looking at a 12 or 13-man roster at best, unless we make some other trades to kind of break some other things up. But then we're probably losing some role players like Alex Caruso that we like. But if the Bulls are truly looking to make some serious change to this roster, they actually could have some cap flexibility. Not much. I'm not trying to paint it like the Bulls are going to be this big player in free agency. No, they're still looking at probably just creating enough space to use their mid-level exception. Maybe by a small chance, use the mid-level and the biannual exception and stay under that luxury tax. But that really depends on a couple of different maneuvers that the Chicago Bulls can make. You guys can let me know how you think and feel on all of that down below. Now, with that said, in talking about the change coming to this team, with the talk about the Los Angeles Lakers possibly going after UConn's head coach, It's reinvigorated some talk around Billy Donovan. And this is probably a topic that my boy Wynn is going to actually like, which I always talk about anytime Billy Donovan comes up. But the conversation that I want to have, and there was a separate conversation that came up on potentially could, if Dan Hurley does go to the Lakers, could UConn look to pivot and maybe bring in Billy Donovan? Well, I will wait to talk about that till something actually materializes, maybe some rumors or something like that. But the question that we want to that I want to ask her today is, realistically, how much has Billy Donovan possibly hurt the Bulls' development or affected the ceiling of the Chicago Bulls? And the reason why I do that, or why I want to talk about that, is, you know, looking at like Daniel Gafford, looking at, you know, Lauri Markkanen, looking at, you know, even Derrick Jones Jr., looking at some of the players that left and have been utilized better. How much of that are we putting on Billy Donovan? I've always gone to roster construction plays a part. Billy Donovan doesn't have a say in, well, let me not say he has a say. They probably do consult Billy Donovan on the type of players that he likes, but his job is not to build the roster. His job is to use the roster. And sometimes he's had to use players outside of their natural positions because we just don't have a lot of depth at certain positions. But Billy Donovan's coaching overall, right? Something that we've seen a reluctance to use young players at times. Patrick Williams, Ayo Dosunmu played right away. Dalen Terry, Julian Phillips did not.
If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
You know, there's so that player utilization, how you put players in certain roles and try to utilize that scheme that Billy Donovan comes up with, kind of the lack of some of the situational awareness that Billy Donovan has on top of some of the late game situations and adjustments that Billy Donovan doesn't make. And that's the question that the Bulls have to ask themselves at some point. Now, it's finally, we know that Billy Donovan has a 2-year contract extension, so we at least have him for 2 more years. I know that his son being hired by the Windy City as the Windy City Bulls head coach has triggered some Bulls fans as well. I don't look at that as something that's like hugely detrimental. It kind of just is what it is there. It's a G League coach. It kind of is what it is, right? You want to keep that same system going. But ultimately, for the Bulls to get to a place of having better player development, is that going to have to come via moving on from Billy Donovan? And some of the legitimate criticisms that people lobby towards Billy Donovan are things like in OKC, where he did have a superstar player or players, and how that team couldn't get over the hump. Now, there are some issues going on with those teams at that time. You look at some player development. I think Lou Dort developed pretty nicely on him under Billy Donovan. He did a pretty good job initially having Shea and even, you know, kind of reinvigorating Chris Paul's career. But Billy Donovan is a coach that relies heavily on his veterans. And that sometimes takes growth opportunities away from young players like a Coby White, who had a really big season, but in fourth quarters, we didn't go to him. Now, some fans that are more positive on Billy Donovan could say, well, Hayes, Coby White has to earn that. He didn't necessarily always play the best down in those situations. And you would say, yeah, that's fair, right? And so the question with Bulls fans being upset at Billy Donovan, and Winton asked me a great question the other day after, you know, some other things came out saying, well, Hayes, do you think it's realistic that the Chicago Bulls are going to be able to ever win a title with Billy Donovan as their head coach? And I go to coaches like Coach Budenholzer, who is very similar to Billy Donovan. The difference is he has had a superstar. He won a title. I think people sometimes forget he was on the hot seat. They won a title. It gained him an extra year on top of that, and then he was ultimately fired. But I think that Billy Donovan is the type of coach that has to have a very specific roster to work. And the Chicago Bulls roster has been very flawed over the years. But the question is that you have to ask yourself, in fairness, is, all right, let's say you fix and solve that. How far do you realistically see Billy Donovan taking the Chicago Bulls? And my thought process on that is, every year that has gone by, I've kind of thought less and less on how far Billy could take us if he, even if we did have this great overhauled roster. And that is a point where, at some point, AK and Eversley have to look at. You can only make so many changes to the roster before eventually you may have to look at changing the coach. Now, when you look at what we always kind of look at the Denver blueprint, right? Denver did not move on from Mike Malone. They didn't at some times where a lot of teams would have moved on from Mike Malone. They trusted him. They trusted his ability to develop. They trusted his staff. You know, they didn't move on from Jamal Murray as well. That's just a very trusting organization. And they were able to reap the benefits of it in part because they got a second round pick right that turned into an MVP caliber player in Nikola Jokic. We don't have that here in Chicago. So the question is that when these 2 years are up, the remaining 2 years for the Chicago Bulls, are we more likely to extend Billy Donovan or are we more likely to move on from Billy Donovan? And that's an answer that I frankly just don't have because this front office is hard to read in cases like that. Like, so I don't have faith that this front office is going to move on from Billy Donovan, but I'm not necessarily pessimistic or doubtful that they will either. I sit in a place of maybe it's going to be results-based. We'll see. But the question I want to throw towards your guys, especially with Mailbag Day tomorrow, is when you look at Billy Donovan and the coaching job that he's done here with the Chicago Bulls and the fact that the record has gotten worse outside of the first year here, which was clearly a rebuilding year, that we then made a bunch of trades at the trade deadline. The question that I want to ask is, do you see Billy Donovan having the needed success if and when we do finally improve the roster? Let's say we get lucky and hit on a draft pick that becomes a superstar player. Do you trust that the Bulls are then going, is Billy Donovan good enough to get the Bulls far enough? You look at it, first year in Chicago in 2020-21, we won a grand total of 31 games. The second season of that was the first season of DeMar, Lonzo coming to this team, we won 46 games. We won 40 games the year after that, and then 39 games this past season. We've gotten worse each of the last 3 years. And so how much longer can you invest in that, especially when you look at around the NBA? A lot of teams don't rest on a head coach that just has not had sustained success. Now, some people could also say, well, some of these franchises move on from coaches way too fast, a la Milwaukee Bucks. So let me know what you guys think. I'd love to hear from you guys, whether it's in the comment section or you send in a voicemail on this. I'd love to hear from you guys on how you feel about that. Now, moving into the last topic for today's episode, I want to talk a little bit about the draft. And the draft is a thing that, of course, is going to be talked about up until the next 20 days until we get to the draft. Or 19 days, I think it is. But the question that a lot of people are asking is, what are the Chicago Bulls going to do? And when you look around a lot of the mock drafts around, it's all over the place. Some have Tijan Salum falling. Some have Manus Bousilis falling. Some have Devin Carter, who the Bulls reportedly or rumoredly have made a draft day promise to. Some have people, other players going to the Chicago Bulls. Ron Holland is one that some outlets have going to the Chicago Bulls, which Ron Holland is a good player. He's a guard, but or a wing player, and he scores a lot of points, and he's active defensively, and he's also young. He turns 19 in July. He's going to be 19 most of his rookie year. You have those type of players. You also have, I think I already mentioned it to Tijan Salum. Some people even have the Bulls drafting Nikola Topic now, especially with him potentially falling in this draft. The question is with the Bulls. Khalil Ware, another one as far as a big. Donovan Clingan, Dalton Connect, some that have. Is I think everybody is kind of waiting to see what the Chicago Bulls are doing with their roster. And while right now on paper, the thing that makes the most sense is the Bulls going out and getting one of these young bigs that are in this draft. I love the fact that Khalil Ware is rising up. Seems like those motor concerns and things like that have gone away as teams have actually talked to him and worked him out, which is kind of one of the biggest knocks on him. So, take that for what you will. But what should the Bulls' focus be? And I think that it's hard to answer that truly, because what if the Bulls do make a big draft night trade where Zach LaVine and or Alex Caruso are moved in the same deal or separate deals and the Bulls actually get active in that, right? What if They do find a partner for Nikola Vucevic on top of maybe trying then to keep Andre Drummond, and then you have a young center going there at that point. Or what if the Bulls are actually going to let DeMar DeRozan walk or don't feel confident in their ability to re-sign DeMar DeRozan, and they go wing, which is another deep position in this draft. I think it ultimately comes down to a lot of people just have no idea what the Bulls are doing this offseason. They have no idea on what the front office's goals are. They have no idea on exactly or who wants to come stay or whatever for the Chicago Bulls. And that is what makes this a difficult and kind of exciting as a Chicago Bulls fan, to be 100% honest with you. Regardless of what the Bulls do on draft night, there are going to be fans that love it. They're going to be fans that hate it. And they're going to be fans that look at it and are going to say, I'm unimpressed until this front office actually shows me and this team shows me they're going to be winning. And they've earned each one of those reactions over this amount of time. And it just comes down to, what are you doing? And that's something that is somebody who covers this team every single day for over 1,000 days straight of talking about this team. I have no idea. And it's kind of scary, but like I said before, it's kind of exciting at the same time. Now it could wind up in what is probably the most likely scenario and being extremely disappointing because the Bulls have a huge chance to not do shit, to be quite frank with you. But is that, like, what is going to happen here? And what is this team going to really look like heading into the 2024-25 season? You have players like Kobe White and Io who stepped up hugely. The Bulls bet on those guys. And when you look at it as well, and I should have talked about this in the free agency aspect of it. So far, this front office has only gotten players to come here other than the players that they've drafted by overpaying. DeMar DeRozan, we paid DeMar DeRozan probably about $10 million more than what he was going to get in the open market. We overpaid for the trade in Nikola Vucevic, which at that time he was an all-star, so I kind of understood it. But then you had to re-sign him because of the place that you were in with not having flexibility, and you overpaid him again, right? And they're set in a position where they may again have to overpay for DeMar DeRozan and keep him or overpay for Patrick Williams. That is what this front office has done. They have overpaid guys to build this team. Lonzo, I think, was on a fair deal, but it ends up being an overpay because we just didn't get many games out of it. Even if he plays every game this next upcoming season, which he isn't, he's still going to miss more games than what he played for the Chicago Bulls. And so this front office, as we pivot towards the draft, to not overpay, to get the most value, to have a more sustained success, you have to get this thing right. And hearing and seeing everything where the Bulls are and the drastic swings in positions, player types, upside, players that can contribute now that you see in these mock drafts, it comes down to the fact that nobody really knows what this team is going to do. And I guess we'll see if they have a chance to either surprise or disappoint us this offseason. I know a lot of Bulls fans are going to be more keen to think it's going to be disappointment. And that's fair as well. I guess we'll see where the Chicago Bulls go this season. But guys, thank you so much for tuning in. Make sure you guys are following the show at Bulls Central Pod. You can send us any feedback, questions, comments, concerns. BullCentralPod@gmail.com. Lastly, if you want to leave a text message and our voicemail for the mailbag, the number to do so, 773-270-2799. We are the number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related, but that's thanks to you guys. And we're getting closer and closer to 20K. I will do something absolutely batshit crazy once we get to 20K. Don't worry about it. Crazy in a good way. We're going to have fun together, but getting to 20K would be a huge accomplishment. So make sure you guys are hitting that subscribe button. Hopefully I've been delivering the best offseason content you guys have found across the Chicago Bulls, especially with the draft coverage that we'll bring. Like I said, next week we're getting back into some lists when it comes to the draft leading up to the official draft. But guys, thank you so much. And like I like to end every episode on, go Bulls. Love you guys. See you red if you can, y'all. Peace.
This has been a presentation of the Break Media.